You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is, It's Not Working. So we have all these national holidays in this country. We got, I made a list here, we got President's Day, we got Memorial Day, Independence Day, Columbus Day, Veterans Day, Labor Day, we got all these holidays. And we got this one Labor Day holiday, which celebrates workers. So let me tell you something about Labor Day. If the point of Labor Day is it's not working if you're working. So I saw a sign that said we will be open Labor Day. I'm like, okay, so what are we doing, right? Why are you going to be open? You're supposed to let these people take a day off. So you say, well, it's about not working. Similarly, there's some spiritual things we're going to look at today that fall in the same category. I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 4, and I'll give you a little background with this, personal background, on, and then I'll tell you which one we're going to read. So in my personal life, when I was in my early 20s, I got to the place, it's not working. I knew it was not working before then. And I've shared multiple times, you know, I thought about killing myself, asked God to kill me. And then I said, you got to send me some help. So when my help finally showed up and a man named Claude Townsend, he met me at this thing. I was in Georgia at something. A guy talked me into going to, and I was a mess. And Claude says he looked across the room and saw me. And the Holy Spirit said, that's why you're here. Came over and met me. And he took me out in his van. He got me out of the building. Sat down in the van. He hands me a Bible. And I'm like, holy cow, is this, you know, I've been praying for help, and is this the guy? I was really not too impressed, but I'm like, okay. You know, but when you're desperate, it's like food. If you're hungry, you'll eat. I've offered people food before, and they say, well, I don't really like that. I said, you know what, then you're not really hungry, because this is what I had to eat. If you're hungry, you eat. And I was hungry, and if he was the guy with the food, bring it. So he handed me a Bible, and he said, and I'm out of seminary, right? So I know everything by now, so I'm all good to go. But it wasn't working. So he hands me a Bible. He says, turn to Romans chapter 4 and read me the first few lines. And this is all I got out. But to him who does not work but believes. Okay? Now, what in the world does that mean? You say, well, I thought being a Christian, you're supposed to do stuff. Now, listen really closely, and then you can check out after this. You don't do stuff to become a Christian. You do stuff because you are a Christian. Okay? But you don't get into this family by saying, okay, I'm going to audition. And if you can run the, you know, 100-yard dash and this, and you can do so many that's and help some lady across the street, oh, we've been watching you and we think you're good enough to get in. Nobody's good enough to get in, period. And this is where a lot of people have a hard time becoming a Christian. They go, you know what? I don't really need God. I'm a good guy. I'm a good person. I'm like, well, hope that works out for you, but that's not what the book says. Okay? So to him who does not work. Now, why is this written in Romans? Why is it written to these people? Because everybody is trying to deserve God's love, right? And I say this every once in a while to people. If I, on the way home, stop and buy flowers for my wife and take them to her, am I trying to get her to love me, or am I expressing love to her? You say, well, it depends on how bad the fight was. So, and I get that's where you might be coming from. Hopefully it's not, hey, look, I brought you flowers. Now maybe you'll love me. It's, hey, I love you. I know you love me. I brought you flowers. And it's an expression of something, not a payment of some kind negotiating. Okay. So you say, well, why do you keep beating on this stuff? Either you personally, somebody here or beyond, may not have an understanding of this, or you're dealing with someone who is trying so hard and working so hard to get God to love them, they're worn out, they're exhausted because they can't do it. And no matter how good they are, they're not perfect. He demands perfection, and so they just throw their hands up and say, it's not working. And that's the point. It's not working. Okay? Now you say, but what about, I'll get to the after you become a Christian where things happen there. But the only way to get in is empty-handed. And it's even worse than empty-handed. It's dirty hands. It's worse than dirty hands. It's usually a pile of you-know-what somewhere around your life where you're going, okay, and you're going to have to clean this up too while we're at it. So I don't just come with nothing. I come with nothing and minus nothing with all this mess of my life. And he says, I got it. I can take all that away. This is where Claude started with me. Why did he start here with me? Because he figured out in about 2 seconds, I was wearing my butt out trying to get God to love me. Now you say, well, I was trying. You know, I'm trying. I'm doing all this stuff. Why didn't God pay attention? He is not going to acknowledge something that's not going to work. So he'll let you burn yourself completely out, and then you lay there like you've drowned. And I don't know if you know anything about it. Somehow I got in a drowning class one time at some camp, and how do you save a drowning person? Does anybody know? I've asked this before. They're out there drowning, flailing. You swim out to the drowning person and do what? You let them drown. Because if you reach in to help them, they'll grab you, push you under. So what do? You tread water until they completely exhaust themselves and go under. They got no fight. Put your arm around them and swim them in. Well, that's terrible. You're just sitting there watching them drown. They're going to kill both of you if you try to save them. Right? So God goes, okay, it's not going to work your way. And I'm sending people to tell you that, but knock yourself out. And then finally you say, okay, I get it. I'm not going to try anymore. I'm going to let you live in me and through me the way you intended. And I had burned myself completely out trying to work for God. Now, why is it so exhausting? If you don't know God really personally and you can't hear his voice, then you're just taking kind of shotgun approach to the Christian life. Then you just do everything possible, hoping you cover everything possible, instead of taking a deep breath and saying, okay, Lord, this is your day. You made it. I'm going to rejoice. Be glad in it. Where are we going today? And then you hit targets instead of just running around like a crazy person trying to do everything you can to prove something, right? So religious people are hard workers, and you can't keep up with them. You'll burn out trying. Let's read another one. Next chapter, Romans chapter 5. Okay, so how do you get right with God? Verse 1, therefore, because of all he said in chapter 4, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Okay, so it is by faith. It is not by works. It is by faith. You say, well, that's just too easy. You just believe something and it happens. If you're in this room, you sat down in that chair, not a single one of you examined the chair before you sat down in it. Didn't do a test on it. Oh, I don't know if I can sit in this chair. Wonder who made this chair. What's the man? I'm going to scan it and see what the barcode, what the rating is, and if there's any, you know, feedback on chairs collapsing, you know. You just popped the seat down and sat down. Why? You have faith in the chair. So you come to God and you go, okay, I get it. You say, well, it can't be that easy. It's simple. And then what does the world do? What does the devil do? What does religion do? Oh, yeah, it's that simple, but now we're going to work you to death. And we're going to run you through the guilt meter and your needle's going and it's all bad now. Galatians chapter 2. So this will help you a little bit on the not working deal. And let's go to verse 11. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would not eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. In other words, acting like, oh, we don't eat with those people. And Peter had come to Antioch, and Paul is on him. Like, you can't have it both ways. You're being a hypocrite, trying to appease too many people. Focus on pleasing God, not appeasing people, right? Find out what the book says and treat. You say, well, this group's going to be upset with me. It's okay. Make sure God's not upset with you. All right, verse 14. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, look at that statement. Talking about these guns of the faith. They were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. It's not going to work. So you get around religious people who think, you know, we got to perform and do all these things. Don't get sucked into that mess. Because they got this whole set of rules and things. If you don't do this and you do this, you're not going to make it. And you can't wear pants. And man, I grew up with some crazy stuff, you know, where you can't wear red lipstick or what am I leaving out here? Jewelry. No jewelry. You can bring it to the altar. You just can't leave with it. What else? Can't dance. Hey, I was raised where you could play dominoes, but you couldn't play cards. Now you say, but they were well-meaning. You know, your parents were trying to do the best they could. These are crazy people in these categories. Like, listen to what you're doing and try to say out loud to your children, we don't do this because. Well, where's that in the scripture? Well, it's just because I said so. Because that's what I was raised and that's it. I mean, I was raised that Baptists don't believe in premarital sex because it could lead to dancing. And that's what I was taught. So go figure that out. So, okay. So you say, but I'm trying to do it. No, you're working. Why don't you pull way back in, find you a closet somewhere, have a good conversation with Jesus and say, look, I can't figure all this out. I'm going to read the scripture and I need you to talk to me. And I need you to teach me. And I need to be around people that have not lost their minds and not trying to prove something to you. I got nothing to prove to you because you already said you love me. We sing about that. Oh, how he loves us. I can't even talk about that song. I didn't know that. I thought I was trying to get him to love me. I didn't know he already loved me. And when that old man helped me understand that he already loved me, I could breathe. So like, I don't have to do anything. No, he already loves you. So I can just love him back. Yeah. And I don't have to do anything. Nope. And if I don't do anything, he's not going to love me any more any less. Nope. So like he's not going to be a slight dip. No dip. So I can live like hell. He's still going to love me. Yep. He may be disappointed and he may discipline me, but he will never stop loving me exactly the same. Now that's some good news, right? You can abuse that, by the way. You just won't for long because he loves you enough to discipline you, and then you won't want to abuse it anymore. Because he'll give you motivation to come home. Been there too. Okay? No one justified the works of the law. No flesh shall be justified. Then keep reading. Verse 17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So you live by faith. You get saved by faith. You live by faith. You trust him. You don't just randomly perform a bunch of tricks and think that's going to make him happy. You get out of the way, say, I don't want you just to live in me. I want you to live through me. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. We're almost done. Ephesians chapter 2. And some of you know this by heart, but you got to live this stuff. You can't just know it, be able to recite it. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. If you're a Christian, that's how it happened. By grace, unmerited favor, through faith, you didn't do anything. You believed. And that not of yourselves, even the grace, the faith, all that was given to you from him. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That's about as clear as you can put it. By grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, so no one can say, look what I did. No one can boast. And then look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now you say, well, what does it mean to be created in Christ Jesus? What is it? The scripture also says, if any man be in Christ, he's what? a new creation, like something completely new, something completely different. So if you're created in Christ Jesus, you're not the old you, you're a new you. That's him created in Christ Jesus for what purpose? So if you're a Christian, you're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So there is an expectation. God says, okay, I saved you. I have remade you. I've created you in Christ Jesus for a purpose. Now something kicks in. Now your life changes. And this is why a lot of times people look at someone who says, I am a Christian, and they go, dude, you got no fruit. How does this work? Go to James chapter 2. And I'll read you this really quick and we'll wrap it up. Okay, so now people read James chapter 2 out of context and try to use it for salvation, and this is not what it's about. James chapter 2, verse 14. You have to go back and read some of this before this, but we'll jump into 14. So here he's writing to these believers, and he says, what does it profit, my brethren? So what's the use? What good is it if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Okay, so now we're on the flip side. So it's not works to be saved and then you live the Christian life. It's you get saved by grace through faith. Then, because you're a new creation, because it's faith created in Christ Jesus to good works, now something comes out of that. You don't do stuff to get into the family. You do stuff because you are in the family. Okay? All right, James chapter 2, back to that. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, and you got to say this right when you say it, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Are you a crazy person? They don't have clothes. They don't have food. Depart in peace. Oh, you know, or song, whatever you go. I'm sure there's music that goes with it. Okay? So there they sit, naked, destitute of daily food. Depart in peace. Be warmed and filled. How am I going to do that? I have no food and clothing. Warmed and filled. Like, you're crazy. But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit? Like, this doesn't make any sense. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So if the faith you claim to have that saved you is not a faith that generates a life of letting God work in and through you, you need to go back and question the faith you think that saved you. Everybody with me? They say, well, are you questioning whether I'm a Christian or not? I don't know. Are you? What'd you believe? Well, I believe Jesus died on the cross. Then what happened after that? I went back to living like hell. Is that where you're going to stay? No. Well, then what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to engage with the church and get somebody to disciple me and get up and running. See, you even have a hunger for that. If you have no hunger for that, something's missing. No, I'm a big advocate of the prodigal son was a son when he left the house, right? So I get that. But let me tell you something about the son. He came home. Because the father will let you go and get yourself in a situation where you want to come home. And you may give yourself your own whooping and say, I'll be better off at dad's house, even if he just hired me, and he'll hire me because I know what kind of man he is. I'm going home. So someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. Now, this is a big one to remember if you're sharing your faith with someone. You believe there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So when someone says to me, well, I believe in God, I go, okay, we're getting somewhere. Now you and the demons believe there's a God. Next. Is it enough to believe there's a God? No. You got to believe in what he's done for you and on his terms, accept his gift of salvation, repent, move forward, you know, his way. Not just say, I believe there's a God. So interesting in verse 19, you say, well, that's the kind of faith I have, and that's the problem that he's trying to point out in this passage. You have a faith that says, I believe there's a God, and all that does, your faith says, there's a God. Now you and the demons agree there's a God. The faith he's talking about here that generates the works after you're saved is not just an assent to a fact that a God exists. It's believing and putting your trust in him for your righteousness, for your salvation. Okay? But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Now, what does that mean? It means the manifestation of genuine faith is that something's going to happen. Something's going to change in your life. God's not just going to be working in your life. He's going to work through your life, and that will be obvious to everyone. Okay? So you say, well, you're pushing again. You're pushing. I had someone the other day say, yeah, I brought my girlfriend. And she's like, was he upset or something? Like, yeah, I'm upset in a really good way. Why am I upset? Because we're not getting it. And there's so many people in here and beyond that are working their butts off trying to get God to love them, and it's unnecessary. Or they genuinely become a Christian, and then they get abandoned. No one disciples them. No one walks with them. And no one shows them how to take one step at a time and work out their salvation with fear and trembling and see God work in their life, because that's when it gets really encouraging. Because you go, wow, God's using me. And I gently kind of say to you, you know, I'll tell you my stories. Get your own stories. And when you have those stories, you go, wow, it's not just some preacher. It's not just some professional out there. God can use me. There are people waiting on you to sow some seed, or just encourage them or love on them, or let your light so shine that they'll see your good works and do what? Glorify the Father in heaven. So last few lines here. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? So yes, she believed, but she also acted. And then it sums it up in verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So if you take a body, if I lay down here on the stage and someone comes up here with a pillow and suffocates me, and my spirit leaves my body is dead because my spirit is not in my body. Everybody get that? This is how this works. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So the reason your faith looks dead is you got nothing coming out of that faith.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
So you say, well, now I'm going to go home and try harder. You missed the whole deal. It's not working. Well, what do I do? You let him do what he wants to do through you. How do I do that? You listen. You respond. You know, once you get into this, it'll make more sense. Just give him a day. Give him a morning. Just get in your car and say, okay, Lord, let's do it your way for 6 hours. I'll give you 6 hours. So where are we going? You don't hear anything. Well, I'm hungry. I'm going to get something to eat. You got any suggestions? You say, I'll sound like an idiot. How do you look doing it your way? And where does that end up? And all of a sudden, he pops some restaurant in your head, and you go, I'll go in there. And you go in there, and now you're scanning, you're looking, and he goes, talk to that lady over there. And you go, hey, how are you? I'm testing something. You know, don't tell him that, but... But you almost could say, you know what? I'm a Christian, and I'm making a run at something today, and I think God sent me to this restaurant, and he just told me to come talk to you. How are you? Well, she'll think you're crazy. Here's where you get it wrong. For all you know, that person, whoever it is, has been crying themselves to sleep at night, asking God for help, and you're the crazy person that walks in and goes, can I pray for you about something? And they burst into tears. Like, well, that's not going to happen. How do you know? And then life becomes an adventure. Because where's he going to take me next? What's going to happen next? You know, people say it's not working. That used to be me. It doesn't work all the time. It's not working because it's not working that makes it work. Let him do it. Just listen. Just get out of the way. And if you got sin in your life, just confess it. Okay? God, I screwed up again. Even if it's the same stupid sin, The more you listen to him and the more you obey him, the less time you're going to have for that stupid sin. Okay? Oh, I was about to go do that stupid thing again, but I got to go serve God. So I guess I'll have to do that tomorrow. Then you run out of time to sin. And then you're so excited about serving God, you're like, well, this is more fun than that. So why would I go do that and screw my whole life up?
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.